Good morning. It's good to be together, and I've been encouraged by the service thus far, and it's good for us to have an opportunity now to study from God's Word. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, we want to conclude a lesson that we began last Sunday concerning Jesus' statement, "Be not anxious," or as some versions say, "Do not worry." When we think about a list of sins in God's Word, we might think of things like adultery and lying and stealing and things such as that. Would we put worry on that list of sins? Would we put worry there? It's something that is easy to do, but would we place it on a list of things that is condemned in Scripture? When Jesus says, "Be not anxious," and when Paul says in Philippians 4:6, "Be not anxious," and we're anxious, are we not doing what is forbidden in Scripture? Just like those other things that are mentioned in God's Word. And so I thought it would be good for us maybe to talk about a topic that we don't normally talk about, and that is anxiety or worry. And it's good for us to look at what the Lord has to say about this in the Apostle Paul. In our lesson last Sunday morning, we went down through the text of Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 24, and we noticed several reasons why anxiety or worry is wrong. And Jesus says that we are not to have this in our life. And we discussed the various points that he made there, and this morning we want to conclude these thoughts by talking about why worry is wrong and how that we might overcome that. Jesus says, "Be not anxious," or as some versions say, "Do not worry." Now, what is that exactly? Is worry planning ahead? No. No, this is the time of the year when people make trips and we plan ahead. Do we need to get an oil change? Do we need to fill up the gas with car? Do we have things packed? Worry is not planning. Worry is not taking care of our responsibilities. We need to clothe our children and we have jobs and pay bills and that type of thing. Having responsibilities, planning, that's not worry. In Matthew chapter 6, if you'll turn with me to verse 27, we discussed last week that worry is narrow. It's a particular kind of care. It's a particular kind of thought. It's that which we cannot control. We're not talking about simple planning ahead. We're not talking about taking care of family and job and religious responsibilities. We're talking about trying to be bothered by and concerned and anxious and worrying over that which we cannot control. Jesus says in verse 27 of Matthew 6, "And which of you, by being anxious or by worrying, can add one cubit unto the measure of his life?" Anxiety and worry is being careful for and thinking about things you cannot change. You can't change your height. It is what it is. You can't change it. It is what it is. And there are things that you cannot control. And when we start wanting to control what we can't control, then we're worrying and we're having anxiety over things that we should not. And it's wrong. It's wrong. The word literally means, the King James says, "take no thought." Well, it's not just simple thinking, and it's in some versions say, "do not care about." Some versions say, "be not anxious, don't worry." But it is thinking that literally divides the mind, where we're drawn in opposite directions, we're pulled apart, and we're not producing anything that is good. The old English word worry literally means to strangle. The old English word warren, we get worry, warren, to strangle. And so it's not just simple thinking, it's not just simple caring about something, but over that which we cannot control. You can't add one cubit to your life. And we're not going to accomplish that by worrying. And so It's very important to define our terms here. As I mentioned last week, somebody might say, well, Chris preached on worry, so I don't have to go home and go to work tomorrow. No, we have responsibilities. We have things we need to care for. But when we're thinking about that which we cannot control and change, we can't change it. Look at verse 34. That's what worry is. Things that cannot be changed, things that cannot be controlled. Be not therefore anxious for tomorrow. You can't do a thing about tomorrow. You can't change it. It's going to be what it is. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. So Jesus makes it very clear. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, "Do not be anxious over what you will say." He's talking about his apostles. "The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say." You're not in control of that. So things that we cannot control are things that we cannot change. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately. It's easy to do. It's easy to let one of these thoughts come in that you cannot control or change, and that it just eats you up. And it could be 60 seconds, it could be 5 minutes, it could be 15 minutes, it could be a good part of a day. Well, it's futile. And we're wasting our time, Jesus says. Do not be anxious for these kinds of things. And so it's something really, I believe, it's important for us to think about. Because we could be very guilty of that which Jesus and Paul says, do not do. And I know how easy it is in my life, and I'm sure you've thought about these things in your life, that these things easily come in. Let's look at a few examples. We're worrying over what has happened in the past. You can't change that. You can't change that. Now, yes, past mistakes will have consequences, and we should repent of the past and things like that, but you cannot go back and redo it. But we sit there thinking about redoing it and rehashing it and changing it. It's not going to do anything. There have actually been studies done on this where those were surveyed. 40% of worrying comes over things that are in the future. And those future things may not even come about. Well, I've got this event planned. What if it's going to rain? What if it's going to rain? And I've eaten up 15 minutes worrying about if it's going to rain or not. You can't control that. Our child is out doing something and they're 10 minutes late. Uh-oh. Gotten in a terrible car accident. They're in a terrible car accident. You don't know that. We just start thinking, and we're worrying, and we're assuming, and we're surmising, and, well, I hadn't heard from them. Terrible car accident. Maybe they're dead. Well, we just sit there and generate all these types of things. It may never happen. Maybe they got caught in traffic. You know, maybe it's something as simple as that. But we're eating ourselves up. It's things that we cannot control, things that we cannot change, and the weather is one of those, and many other things in life. And as we're going to see in this morning's lesson, it is debilitating, it's paralyzing, and it keeps us from living the way that God wants us to live. But it has been estimated that some 40% of worrying is about that which is in the future, which may or may not happen. But we're going to sit there and just try to think the way it's going to happen. Many will worry over what is inevitably going to happen. There are things in life that you cannot change or stop. Old age. We're growing older every day. I'm just going to sit there and worry about getting older. I'm going to sit there and worry about dying one day. Well, that's just inevitable. That's just inevitable. I sit there and worry about my children growing up. It's going to happen. It's just inevitable. Well, but what about this? And what about that when they get married? What about this? It's just going to happen. And we're not to worry about those types of things that just inevitably happen. And many worry about over that which is happening now, but it's trivial in comparison to greater and more prioritized types of things. And we're going to look at that with regard to Mary and Martha. That was Martha's problem. We've got to determine if something's going on right now, we've got to determine if something's more important than what's going on right now and choose the more important thing. So this is what Jesus is talking about. That which cannot be changed or controlled. And we're sitting there eating up our time bothered by those types of things. That's what Jesus and Paul said, do not be anxious or do not worry. So this morning then, having reviewed a little bit, I want us to look at what the problem is. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 6. The first problem with worry and anxiety and why it would be regarded as a sin is that it is going against the command. Three times Jesus says, be not anxious. And if I have anxiety, by definition, how we've defined it here in the Scripture, if I have that, if I'm doing that, if I'm being that, then I'm going against the command of God to be not anxious. That's why it's important. Three times Jesus said, be not anxious or do not worry. Three times. And if I'm sitting there doing that, then I'm going against what Jesus said. And Paul said, be not anxious. And if I have anxiety, then I'm going against what Paul said. And so this is disregarding a command, just like disregarding the command to tell the truth, or disregarding the command to be sexually pure, or disregarding the command, do not steal. There are commands, and this is one of them just like the others are. And it's so easy to do that maybe we've never really thought about it. And it's good for us to think about it. Not only that, but worry is a sin because it chokes out the working of God's Word. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. The same word translated anxiety or anxious or worry is used here. But because the translation is care, we might not think it's that big of a deal, but it's the same word. In Luke chapter 8, do you remember the parable of the sower? That which fell among the thorns, these are they that have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares, anxieties, and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. I'm bothered by this and I'm bothered by that, and God's Word is not working in my life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, and this is the matter of Mary and Martha. When I have anxiety over things that aren't important in the big scheme of things and what God wants for me, I'm consumed with that, I'm bothered with that, I'm taken up with that, I can't choose the good part. And it distracts me from doing what is important right now. Here's Jesus in someone's home, and right now the important thing is to listen to Jesus. But no, I'm over here worried about this. Is the meal right? Is the house straight? And this and that. And that's what Martha was consumed with. She didn't set proper priorities on that day. And so today, June the 1st, today, we have some priorities. We have things that are important with regard to serving God. But I can be off bothered by this and bothered by that and not pick what is important. And so it ends up being just a futile waste of time. You remember the story in Luke chapter 10. Let's read together in verse 38. As they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about. The Greek word for cumbered literally means distracted. Distracted. She was distracted. She was cumbered about with much serving, and she came up to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister did leave me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. And it caused her to be divided and distracted. Over here worried about this. And Mary's just sitting listening to Jesus. The important thing. The priority thing. But I got all this I got to take care of. No, what's important is you listen to Jesus. And Mary had chosen the good part. And you are anxious and distracted, anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. The problem with worry and anxiety is it takes us away from the one thing that is important today. And on a given day, there are priorities. There are things that are important to serving God. Well, I'm over here taking care of this. Anxious, worried is the word. She was distracted and divided, and she couldn't focus on the one thing that was needful. That's why it's such a problem. And whether it's 60 seconds or 5 minutes or 15 minutes or a good part of the day, we have wasted our time on that which is not important. Number 4, it keeps us from being ready for the Lord's return. Turn with me to Luke chapter 21. We're looking at the same occurrence of this word in the New Testament, where it's used in a negative sense. And we're trying to emphasize the point that this is anxiety is not just some casual personality thing. Well, you know, some people aren't anxious and some people are. It's enough for Jesus to talk about it. It's enough for Paul to talk about it. It's a Bible matter that we need to address. It keeps us from being ready for the Lord's return. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, we had a study earlier in the year on the destruction of Jerusalem. And this part of the passage is the part that takes place where Jesus turns his attention now not to the destruction of Jerusalem, but to the coming at the second coming. Take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged, burdened, weighed down with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares, the same memnao, the same word translated anxiety, cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. I'm so bogged down with these things, surfeiting, having a good time, you see, and drunkenness, and worries and anxieties. Your version might say cares, but it's the same word. And I'm bogged down with that, I'm burdened with that, and overcharged with it, and I'm not ready for the Lord to come. I've been worried about this and taking care of that, you see. Things that aren't in our control, things that shouldn't be in our life. So I'm not ready. Verse 35, so it'll come upon them that dwell upon the face of the earth. Watch therefore, making supplication that you may prevail to escape all these things and shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. You're ready when He comes, but no, I'm just bothered by all this other. Worry keeps me from having a happy life. Turn with me to the passage that Shannon had earlier. We need to understand, brethren, that anxiety and worry, in addition to these things, will cause mental and physical problems. Physicians will tell you, I'm not a doctor, but a physician will tell you that when a person has a habit of anxiety and worry, that mental and physical problems come to their lives. It's caused by the worry and the anxiety. I find it interesting that when you look at the scripture reading here in Philippians chapter 4, look at this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm supposed to be a happy person. Worry is going to take that away. Worry will rob me of my happiness. Verse 4, I need to be happy. Let your forbearance or gentleness be known unto all men. People who worry and are anxious, they're not gentle. Often they might be gruff. They might be mean. They might be on edge all the time, and you set them off easily. It's going to affect my happiness. It's going to affect my gentleness. In nothing be anxious, or some versions say, do not worry. It's going to affect me emotionally and physically. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, I'm not at peace. I'm always on edge. I'm always on edge. High blood pressure. You see, nervousness, hypertension, you see. Doctors will list all the things that go along with anxiety. They will tell you, they'll give you the list. It actually affects our emotional and physical well-being. So I'm no longer at peace, but God's peace needs to be in me. No, I'm on edge. And so, in a list of things that are wrong, we need to understand that it's going to have emotional and physical problems. Look at what the doctors list. Under the mental category, stress. Always uptight. Fear. Fear of, well, you know, child's 10 minutes late, and I start surmising it and suspicion, and I'm nervous. Nervous breakdowns, despair, some turn to drugs, alcohol, suicide. Their mind is so consumed with things that they cannot control. Often it's future things, sometimes it's past things. Doctors will tell you that high blood pressure, insomnia, low energy, tired all the time, headaches, hypertension, hives, breaking out, ulcers, because we're just constantly consumed and bothered by things. And the way of America and a good part of the world is, well, we just take medicine for all of that. And I want to be very careful that I don't think it's wrong for a Christian to take medicine and see doctors for certain kinds of things. But I wonder if much of this can be avoided by just simply doing what Jesus says and what Paul says. Do not be anxious. And we're going to talk about how that we can help that in a minute. Instead of just saying it and going on, how can we take some steps to control that? I have to do that in my life. When one of those anxiety thoughts comes in, I have to, okay, wait a minute. That's one of those anxiety thoughts. That's one of those future things that I'm all trying to be bothered by. That doesn't need to be in my mind. But we need to understand that it will cause emotional and physical problems. The English word means to strangle, and we're strangling ourselves emotionally and physically with these kinds of things. Look at the text again. We're supposed to be happy, verse 4. It robs us of that. We're supposed to be gentle with other people. It often robs us of that. We're supposed to have the peace of God in us. It robs us of that. And so what's left in its place? Well, the devil wants all this other stuff in our life, and we just frazzle and fall apart. We need to deal with it. It keeps us from prayer. And so in chapter 4 and verse 6, in nothing be anxious. Look at that. That's a hard one. In nothing. That's like that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, to rejoice always and pray always. Really? Always? Even when things are going bad, like Job or Paul in prison? Yes. So in nothing. And that is extremely hard to do. And so this has been on my mind a lot lately, and the change I've tried to make is that you're not going to be able to stop those anxious thoughts from coming into your mind, but you can immediately say, I'm not going to dwell on that. You can control that. And we're not going to be consumed with that. What we're going to do is we're going to find that we're spending our time doing that rather than spending our time praying to God. So it will rob us of a good prayer life. And so we really need to take seriously what Jesus and Paul are saying. Now, how can we overcome that? What can we do? I'm bothered about the future. And what's going to happen, you see? And I keep dwelling on the past, and I'm losing sleep over what happened a year ago or 10 years ago. Or something inevitably is going to happen, and I'm just consumed with that. How can I overcome those kinds of thoughts? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The first thing we need to do is bring our thinking under control. And we don't often talk about this kind of thing, but we need to. There are thoughts that come into our mind throughout the day. And we need, as Paul says, bring them into captivity. We need to control those things. Have you ever stopped to think about this for just a minute? When we talk about controlling our thoughts, what do we normally do? Well, we need to control sexual thoughts. We need to control sexual thoughts. And we need to control thoughts that deal with sexual immorality and youthful lust. Yeah, that's right. We do need to control those thoughts. But what about this? Do we need to control anxiety thoughts and worry thoughts? Absolutely. Those are just as much thoughts. Well, we need to control thoughts of false teaching. So I've got these thoughts in my mind where I want to teach something contrary to God's word. Or I've got sexual thoughts in my mind. You better control your thoughts. That's right. But what about anxiety thoughts? Thoughts are thoughts. And Paul says that when there is thinking that is not right with God, we have to bring that into captivity and in line with the knowledge of God. Look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations, literally reasonings. Reasoning. I've got reasoning. Well, I've got reason to be worried about next week. Well, it's a reasoning. Well, that's got to be brought into captivity. Casting down imaginations, reasonings, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God. And bringing every thought, including worry and anxiety, into captivity to Christ. Well, you need to control your sexual thoughts. You do. And you need to control your thoughts about error and false teaching. You do. And you and I need to control thoughts
about anxiety. Thoughts are thoughts.
And there's all kinds of bad thoughts that can be out there. And every thought into captivity to obedience of Christ. And so Christ wants that control just as much as anything. So we're going to make up our mind that it's going to be hard just to keep it. It's going to come in. There's going to be a thought throughout the day that's going to come in. And you have a choice of just saying, wait a minute. That's one of those anxiety things. I can't control that. I can't change that. Just let it go. And conquer that and control that. And I'm not going to sit there and just dwell on that and get eaten up with it. Make up our mind that that kind of a thought doesn't belong in my life, just like the sexual thoughts and the thoughts of error and other kinds of thoughts. I'm going to bring that into captivity. I'm going to control that. I'm going to conquer that. And number two, I'm going to learn what it really means to put God first. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 6. Do you remember in our lesson last week that's really the basis of Jesus' teaching here? It came on the lesson of verse 24, Matthew 6, 24. You've got to make up your mind. Are you going to serve mammon or are you going to serve God? That was really the basis of his lesson on anxiety. You've got to make a choice. You can't serve mammon and God. You can't serve the God of this world and the true God. You've got to make up your mind. And so when we truly learn what it means to put God first, engage in his work. Look at verse 33. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. God's first. God's work is first. Then I'm not going to be worrying on these other things. God is first. He's going to take care of me. I'm going to focus on his kingdom, his work. And when I learn what that really means, and when I actually do that each day, then thoughts of worry and anxiety will not be there. I'm putting God first. I'm doing his work and his will. Have you ever thought about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12? We quote this verse a lot. Solomon at the book of Ecclesiastes said that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. Have you ever thought about that in the context of worry and anxiety and what you read about in the first part of the book? How many homes did Solomon have that he could have worried about? How many wives? How many projects? How much money? Have you ever thought about in chapter 1 and 2 all the stuff that he could have worried about and been anxious over? And he concludes by saying, really, what it's all about is putting God first. You think you have anxiety over one home that you have? What about multiple? One job? What about multiple? Whatever amount of money? What about just all this money? Solomon, one of the wealthiest men. All these things that could have been consuming him, he said what you've got to focus on is God. And you know what? This word is the idea of caring is actually used, the same word is actually used in a good sense. We're to have care one for another in the local church. Paul had care for the churches. Timothy cared for the church at Philippi. When we stop being anxious and worrying over things that we cannot control, that frees up our mind and body to actually care about members of the church and put God first and engage in his work. And what we're doing is we're really focusing on a more worthy object. There are more worthy objects of our care out there than our anxiety and our worry. We need to learn what it really means to put our faith and trust in God. You remember, look with me at Matthew chapter 6. One of the points that Jesus made is that when we have anxiety, we're not really trusting God. Look at verse 30. O ye of little faith. Turn with me to Psalm 46. When we learn what it means, but you don't understand, Brother Reese. Next week, yeah, I'm really bothered. Wait, God's going to take care of next week. If we don't just need to say we have faith and trust, but put it in his hands, let him take care of that. We focus on today. But next week. But they're not here and it's ten minutes late. God is going to take care of those kinds of things. Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We're not saying that there's no trouble in life. There's trouble in life. But we're not going to be anxious and worrying over things that we cannot change or control. We're going to let God be our refuge. It's amazing how much we're consumed with that and we're not thinking about trusting God and His Word. Well, what about times of trouble? Look at God's Word, Psalm 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. I'm going to turn to God's Word to get help. I'm going to let God and His Word guide me. I'm not going to be consumed about things that I cannot change or control. Live a day at a time. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34? Be not anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problem as it is, but we want to borrow it. We want to borrow. Well, what about next Thursday now? What about next Thursday? And I'm bothered by what might happen next Thursday. We don't know. But we're borrowing it and we're loading it onto what we have today. We've got enough today. So live a day or even a moment. Maybe it's 9 o'clock in the morning, but we're worried about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So we're going to borrow it. We're going to bring it forward. Just live at 9 o'clock. And we're just sitting there thinking about that and bothered by that and worried about that. And then the mental things and then the blood pressure things. And then we're all worked up. We've got to learn on those types of thoughts to control that. Immediately we need to be thinking, that is something I cannot change or control. I'm not to be anxious over that. I'm going to live a day at a time, or even a moment during the day at a time. I'm going to take it to the Lord in prayer. There may be things that even we can change or control that are troubling us and bothering us. Take it to God in prayer. Paul said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Our immediate response needs to be prayer, not anxiety. No, I'd rather just worry about it. No, if you're going to do something mentally about it, pray. Turn it over to the Lord. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. How do we do that? Through prayer. 1 Peter 5:7. I love this. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 19. I just love this statement. We need to do more of this. You remember when Assyria had surrounded Jerusalem and Hezekiah... He's putting his trust in God. And Rabshakeh comes up and says, oh, y'all are a bunch of crazy fools for trying to put your trust in God. He's not going to save you. Is your God like all these other gods? We marched up to other cities and their gods didn't save them. You think your God is going to save you? And Rabshakeh is just, you know, taunting and being proud and arrogant. He's yelling out there. What does Hezekiah do after he hears this defiant speech of Rabshakeh? Look at chapter 19 and verse 14. And Rabshakeh writes this letter and sends it to them. You know, you guys better surrender. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed and so forth? Verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of Jehovah and spread it before the Lord. Need your help. Help me out here. Here's what's going on. This guy's out here yelling. And he's mocking you. And we believe in you, Lord. And he spread it before the Lord. He spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before Jehovah and said, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, that sitteth above the cherubim, thou art God, even thou alone in all the kingdoms of the earth. Incline thine ear, O Jehovah, and hear. Open thine ears, O Jehovah, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, wherewith he hath sent to defy the living God. Just spread it out there. And maybe we need to do more of that. No. I'd rather just worry about it. No. You're going to push that thought out of your mind and you're going to spread it before the Lord. We need to do that. In Psalm 55:22, when we take it before Him, He will hear us and He will care for us. And then last of all, if we live a life free from the guilt and shame of sin, it's actually the life in the Lord. we won't have to be anxious and worrying because we're living right. Do you remember there in the scripture reading, so much of this comes back to Philippians chapter 4. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts, that's where the worry and the anxiety comes in Christ Jesus. I'm a Christian. I've obeyed the gospel properly. I'm living properly. If there is sin in my life, I repent of it and I get rid of it. I pray. I come back and I worship faithfully and I live faithfully. And I'm in the Lord. Verse 4, I can rejoice in the Lord. Verse 7, I can have peace in Christ Jesus. I'm living right. I'm a Christian. And so I'm not going to be worrying over the future that I can't control. I'm not going to be worrying over the past that I can't control. I'm not going to be worrying about the present that I can't control. I'm living my life in the Lord. I'm happy. I'm forbearing with people around me. The peace of God is in me. Do you see how different that is than not just many Americans, but some brethren? It's a lot different. And so I believe that it's important for us to identify what anxiety and worry is. Things that we cannot control and change. And then learn the problem with that, the sin involved with that, and how to overcome it. Well, as we close, we can't live in the Lord. We can't put the kingdom first. We can't serve God if we are consumed with anxiety and worry. And so when we stop that, we can actually start living as a happy Christian with the peace of God in us. You know, as we closed last Sunday, there are many people, including Christians, they have relatively good health and they're taken care of financially. They're intelligent. They've advanced in many ways. They've got a good job and a good home. Yet they're paralyzed with worry and anxiety. They're robbed of their peace of mind. In many cases, and I say in many cases, again, I am not opposed to a member of the church who has to properly take some medicine or a member of the church who properly needs to visit a doctor. I'm not opposed to that. But I wonder, in many cases, if that's not what we need, we just need to stop worrying. So much today is done. I remember as a child back in the 70s, you would watch a TV program or a sitcom or something. And if somebody was really well off, go get me a tranquilizer. You remember that? Get me a tranquilizer. I remember hearing that a lot as a kid. And usually the wealthy people, you know, that could have a tranquilizer to take care of this or a tranquilizer to take. I just need to be, you know, calm down. I need a sedative. Give me a sedative. Well, again, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not going to go through each case of a Christian and say that that's immoral and sinful. I'm not going to do that. But I'm wondering if, in many cases, that could have been done by bringing every thought into captivity, including those thoughts of anxiety and worry, and taking these other steps where we don't need those types of things. We just simply need the instruction from God's Word. I've been guilty of doing it. It's easy to do. It's easy to worry and be anxious. It's easy for that thought to come in. I'm trying, especially recently with looking at this material for my own self, I'm trying to work on that. And I don't want to be guilty of what God says not to do. And I hope that this material has helped you as well. With regard to today. Let's not be thinking about tomorrow, Monday. Let's be thinking about today. Do I need to obey the gospel today? Do I need to come back to the Lord today? Do I need to put worry and anxiety out of my life today? Let's take care of that. Today is the day of salvation, as Paul says. We're not promised of a tomorrow. And remember that servant of Luke 21. Just out having a good old time and surfeiting drunkenness and just the cares or anxieties of this life, and they're just not ready when the Lord comes again. Their mind was on other things. let's have our minds set right now on serving the Lord. And if we're subject to the invitation and we need to come forward and respond to Him in some way, why won't you, as we stand and sing?